The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You never know what you're going to discover when you start hearing stories. And we, I think, just really value humans. And we think that they're beautiful. And we think of all the beautiful humans that have gone into making us.
Welcome to the Honestly Adoption Podcast, a show about adoption, foster care, advocacy, and becoming the best caregiver possible. Pull up a chair. We're glad you've joined us. Here are your hosts, Mike and Kristen Berry.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Honestly Adoption Podcast. My name is Mike Berry, along with Kristen Berry. We are your hosts for this show, and we are so glad that you have tuned in to this week's episode. We have an amazing guest. His name is Preston Puto, and he is a writer, producer, of an amazing film that came out just this year called I'll See You Later. And it is a really heartwarming story. He, along with several others, wrote and created this film to tell beautiful stories of adoption and really to change the storyline of adoption. And we had a chance to preview the film, and we were so excited to be able to get Preston on to the Honestly Adoption Podcast. He's going to be joining us here in just a few moments. But before we get to that, I want to tell you about a couple of really, really important things. If you're listening to this on Friday, November 18th, today is the last day to get access to Jeff Noble's Caregiver Kickstart coaching program and get access to a ton of awesome bonuses that we have when you sign up for that. The Caregiver Kickstart coaching program is designed to help caregivers who are caring for an individual with a fetal alcohol spectrum disorder find hope, keep their sanity, and learn valuable strategies to connect with your child. Connect with your child. It's open right now. Visit honestlyadoption.com/kickstart to learn how you can get your hands on some amazing bonuses that we have from our Honestly Adoption University when you sign up for the Caregiver Kickstart coaching program. It closes tonight, November 18th, at the stroke of midnight. So you only have a few hours left, and maybe, unfortunately, you're listening to this and it's after the 18th, and we're sorry about that. You missed the window this year. Just get ready, because once a year, Jeff opens this program up, and it is truly, truly an amazing transformational program. I also want to invite you, if you're brand new to the show, make sure you jump over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever podcasts are found, and leave us a review, rate the show. We would be so grateful if you would do that. Good or bad reviews, the word gets out about our show, and we want to spread hope. We want to spread transformation all around this world. We're so glad you guys are here, and make sure you jump over to honestlyadoption.com/podcast to get caught up on past episodes and browse some of our highly valuable resources, and also learn more about what we do at the Honestly Adoption Company. You guys, we're so glad you're here, and now get ready for this amazing interview with Preston Puto.
Hey, Preston, welcome to the Honestly Adoption Podcast. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, I am excited for this interview because you worked on a project that I found really interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll jump right into this project that you just completed?
Yeah. Thank you. My name is Preston Puto, and I'm a producer and a writer. Although the word producer was not a title that I ever had just a few short years ago. My day job is I'm a pastor, and I'm an author, and I write about neighborhoods and community, and that's really close to my heart. And so myself and some neighbors, we were talking, and we And I was hearing that my neighbors were very passionate about adoption. And we started to discover adoption stories all throughout our community, and realizing over the course of several years that these stories should be told. They were beautiful, and that there were some headwinds against telling good adoption stories or changing the storyline for that. And so that started a long journey. So so it's born out of a place of love, and happy to be here sharing some of that with you today.
I love that this came from a place of talking with people and hearing about their stories and wanting to share that. I think it's just really, it's really beautiful to hear, well, everyone has a story. So I think it's really beautiful to hear someone's unique story and see the connection there. I know that as I watched this film, you know, I could see a little bit of our adoption story in it. I could see a little bit of difference in that. And I love seeing someone's unique perspective. How did you decide on, well, let's just start with this. You created a film.
Yes.
And it's called I'll See You Later, a film about adoption. Mm-hmm. How did you come up with that title?
Well, it was actually a line. It was a line in the film. It was the story of a birth mother who had her child and chose to go the adoption route and was very nervous about that and figuring out what that looked like. And she tells the story in there. And we follow several different families hearing their stories. And she just reflected on the idea that with the open adoption route that they had decided on, that it wasn't a goodbye, it wasn't I'll see you later kind of posture. And that helped her as an adoptive mother, and it helped the adoptive family. And they really, through that kind of posture of I'll see you later, they forged this friendship, this relationship. It really defies category as to what kind of relationship happens between two mothers who create and sustain the beautiful life of this baby. And so to me, I was just deeply moved by this whole category of relationship that I think is happening in my city, in the world, that on my street. And I just thought other people needed to see it, because it really touches to the heart of what I think is human love, frankly.
Yeah. It really caught my attention because, you know, I know that as Mike and I, what we do is we provide resources for foster and adoptive parents. So we are, you know, a company that speaks specifically to foster and adoptive parents. Mm-hmm. And you have to have some willingness to hear, not just willingness, desire to hear all types of stories and experiences, mm-hmm. to be in this role that we're in, and to be an effective or loving foster and adoptive parent. And so a lot of what we'll hear, you know, we hear some positive stories. We hear some, you know, amazing stories of families growing larger and accepting different people. We also hear some really difficult stories, some really hard stories. And for a very long time, you know, in our culture in the US, which is where we are, adoptions were closed. This was something that we didn't talk about. And we know that, you know, maybe that was born out of this idea that if we don't talk about it, then a new family just forms and that's the way it is. And we know mm-hmm. that a ton of harm has been caused, mm-hmm. You know, by experiencing adoption in that way, in that closed way, mm-hmm. not having any information. So what caught my attention when I was sorting through emails, I thought, I'll see you later. Well, interesting. I want to know more about that. But it did catch my attention because I know that as we're talking with adult adoptees, as we're talking with, you know, our own children, having that connection is so important. Can you tell me just a little bit about, you know, as you did that film, what kinds of connections did you see between biological families and adoptive families?
Well, I think that the film traces a few storylines that I think were just really noteworthy. Some were those who were seeking to adopt, and they were very cautious about it. They had misinformation about it. They thought, if I adopt anytime, a parent can return and take my child away. Like, they had fears and anxieties and misinformation, and that was almost universal in the stories that we tracked along with. So that is the first category, and those parents, of course, kind of reflect back on those early years when they had those anxieties, and then talk about the open adoption relationship that they have typically with the birth mother. And there's some very meaningful relationships that have emerged in that. And so we then skip and we get a chance to talk to some of these birth mothers and hear some of their stories of how they only thought that they had a few options and then eventually navigated through to find this particular option of adoption and finding peace with that and finding for them in their story that was an option that was really meaningful for them. And so hearing their stories, how they handed a baby over, how they went away for that day, felt the emptiness of it, and then returned and forged a different kind of relationship. I found that really meaningful. And then we got a chance to talk to also some, there's a couple young children who we didn't interview, but they're very, very fun running around and and living life. And then we got to chat to a few people who were a little bit older, who are now in their late teens and 20s, able to reflect back and say, this was my journey. And one of the girls was like, I love talking about my two moms to my classroom and saying, here's this mom and here's this mom. And that this wasn't something that damaged their identity, but actually in at least one or two cases gave them actually a deep sense of assurance that they were cared for and loved, which is, I think, what every child wants to carry and what we as parents want to give for our children too.
I think so much, you know, we have discovered that as foster and adoptive parents ourselves, is we kind of went on that journey also where we adopted privately first, and the adoption agency, you know, they kind of told us about open adoption. It was about 20 years ago. So things have, you know, come even farther since then. But we were told, you know, when you go into the hospital, don't give your last name, don't. And of course, Mike and I blew that completely. Like, right. Like, I mean, minute one, I'm like, I'm Kristen Berry, you know, like, oh, well, so much for really keeping secrets. But I think, you know, even the information that we got more than 20 years ago, it was still kind of tinged with that, like, secrecy. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe there's a level of respect in there too, in keeping our child's birth mom's story private and things like that. But, you know, we just, at the beginning, we were really navigating what that meant to be a part of someone else's family. And I know for us, when we first became adoptive parents, it was very much like, well, now we have our family. It didn't take too long to begin to realize that the children that came into our home, we became foster parents after that, that they had whole entire extended families, and that they brought with them their roots and their culture. And that really the more that we learned, you know, just the better parents we were. And so you mentioned, you know, this idea that one of the people that you interviewed, she really felt like her story showed how many people cared for her. While I can't speak for my kids, I do know that at Christmas time when, you know, they're saying, well, then my grandma's going to come over and then my other grandma and then my other grandma and then my other grandma, but then she's going to show up. And then, you know, this grandma and grandma this, and well, we call this grandma Mamela, you know, and their friends are like, dude, you do not have 12 grandmas. And they're like, we absolutely do. We have more grandmas than any family could possibly manage in this house. But I know that we kind of went on that journey. So, you know, as I was listening to that couple talk about some of their fears, I thought, man, those are the things that a lot of foster and adoptive families think at first. But what if? And I love how that story kind of transformed to the understanding that the more people we have, the more our children are loved, the more information they have, the more secure they are. And it is a shift where, you know, in the really up until, you know, the early 2000s, and in Indiana, we just, I want to say it's only been 3 or 4 years since people in Indiana could get their original birth records. You know, just a lot very much at the roots of adoption. There's a lot of secrecy, a lot of shame, a lot of keeping information away. What we know now is that the more information, the more people who love our kids, I mean, really, the better. So,
that's exactly it.
Right. Yeah. Now, do you have any personal experience with adoption?
Well, this is the interesting thing. Working on this film, I do not have adopted children. I have two young daughters. What this film did was actually brought out all the adoption stories in my family, stories that were not shared, not spoken about. And so back in my history, I have Indigenous background, Métis people. It's a blend of French, Canadians and Indigenous people in our case Cree, and learning about the way that children would be left and that my family became what it is today because children were literally left on the doorstep. And I had to confirm with my grandma that she was actually saying this right. She was like, yes, that we would know that a young girl would be pregnant. This was very taboo. The mother wasn't honored and respected in the way that we are seeking to do now. And so it was all hush hush. And she said, and that's where your great grandma came from. And that's where this aunt came from and all of that. And then she took it a step further. My grandma is very, very elderly. And she just perked up with these stories. And she said, well, I facilitated adoptions. And I said, what?
Right.
Now, the story is kind of a little vague here, but essentially when somebody, this is back in the 50s, 60s, when somebody would be pregnant in their church, she said, yeah, we found an elderly couple or a couple that was maybe past childbearing years that wanted the child, was never able to, there wasn't an easy pathway. And she said, so we literally met over supper and moved the baby from this mom to this couple. And it was great. And nobody said otherwise. And she said eventually the police rolled around and said, you really can't be doing that. But it was at a different time when those sorts of relationships were just built and the community had a way of making sure every child was tended to. And I think one of the original impetus for making this film was we thought some of the laws in Canada or some of the ways in Canada, people were in foster care for an AGL through foster care. And they were moving from home to home to home. And I know in some cases there's some purposes for that, but the numbers are staggering in how many get, I'm going to say, lost in the system and stuck in the system. And so although we might frown upon my grandmother for passing a baby over a kitchen table after church one Sunday and helping everybody find a home, there's something to be said about this sense of the community working together to make sure every child does have a home and every birth mother is tended to and cared for also.
I think there's I see some shift in the culture here around the subject of caring for children and adoption, the role that Department of Child Services takes, you know, in everything that's happened in that world. And when you look back and you hear some of those stories that communities did used to take care of one another, communities did used to have a conversation, sit down and say, you know, and communities still today, I know that within many Black communities, this is still something that, you know, happens here all the time. grandmas mm-hmm. raise kids and auntie raises kids. Mm-hmm. And so we know that those cultures still exist. But when you hear about the way that things used to be handled within community, that you could sit down and have a conversation over the dinner table. What are we going to do? How are we all going to make sure that a child is cared for? Mm-hmm. Certainly is very different from the closed adoption stories that we hear that have, you know, have been facilitated through, you know, whether that's orphanages, Department of Child Services, adoption agencies. So I find it very interesting to hear a little bit of that history and to think about, you know, what that for the good or the bad too. You know, we know there's always multi-levels to everything, but I do think that, that it's something that I hear people really considering more. We used to look out for our communities. We used to live in community with one another. Mm-hmm. We used to have extra hands. We used to maybe not have to make a choice to place a baby because maybe we had, you know, an aunt and an uncle and a cousin and somebody mm-hmm. could, you know, watch the baby while we finished working, things like that. And I'd love to see a shift back to some of that for sure.
Well, and one of the comments that was in the film that's always just stuck with me is one of the wise voices that we spoke to, who kind of often brought some clarity to the unfolding film. You know, she had said that there's many ways of making a family, but every family that is made, you know, it is always a little messy. That is what making a family is. And I think that we have this sense that adoption must be very clean, very clean cut for it to somehow be successful. Well, that's really not how any family created in any biological way ever emerges. It is always some degree of paradox, some degree of mess, some degree of failure and success. And so we should not expect anything different from an adoption journey also. And so I think bringing that into the fore with the film, we have now gotten feedback from so many people who have been watching this really around the world who have been saying, wow, like, I was preparing for something that was just so pure and clean and like, you know, Pinterest worthy or whatever, Instagram worthy. And it's like, no, families are not like that. So change the way that you jump in, and then you can jump in as a human, you know, as a human with all your anxieties and wonders and hopes and dreams and everything good. So,
you know, I find it so relieving when people can be real. We have tons of different people we'd love to interview for our podcast. And so when somebody says, hey, I've got a film, I've got a book or whatever, I say, hey, listen, it's going to be a really long time because I dig through everything before I say yes. You know, before Mike and I are going to put something out there and kind of attach our name to it, we want to really take a good think about what we're aligning ourselves with. And honestly, I hesitated at first. I was like, yeah, but maybe this is just like a tie it up with a nice bow kind of story. And we know that that's not life. Mm-hmm. But I love that you said, and I wrote it down, creating a family is always messy. Family is messy. And I think that there is definitely a lot of pressure to present ourselves in that Pinterest worthy way, you know, with the Instagram filter or whatever. And I think there's really something to the honesty that comes along with open adoption the honesty about the messiness of that. Is it going to be awkward if you enter into an open adoption? Yeah, because two sets of parents raising one child. Yeah, it's going to be awkward. You're two different people. But you know, the best relationships work through that awkwardness and that messiness and really work for the good of the big picture. And that's what I definitely saw as I was watching the film.
Thank you. Yeah, it was, I think you never know what you're going to discover when you start hearing stories. And we I think just really value humans, and we think that they're beautiful. And we think of all the beautiful humans that have gone into making us. Like, I know my backstory, just even the last few generations, has these stories built in. How many more, even back, were compassionate, real human people with all their flaws, seeking to do something beautiful in a world that was well, frankly, a lot of times not so beautiful. And so I think that that's the grand, beautiful story of today. Like, just go through the news and it just feels like the world's hitting a brick wall as we speak. And I think in the middle of it, it's like, when the world's burning, plant a garden. When the world's going to hell, love a child, make a family, gather in a mom who is maybe going through a difficult time. Like this is really the human story. And it's the one that I think comes through in the film. So.
I love how you said that. And you bring up story and storyline. And I think Kristen said this earlier in the beginning of our interview, but, you know, unfortunately in the world we live in, adoption and foster care can often become the punchline for a joke, or it can be a negative storyline. I mean, I'm thinking of some of my favorite movies where, you know, I love the movie, but at the same time, there was a couple of references in there that was really kind of insulting to the adoption storyline, right? Or, the foster care storyline. With this film, how do you envision, how do you guys continue to envision it impacting the storyline of adoption and foster care? How do you see it contributing to that?
Well, prior to the film, we actually spent a couple of years doing research. We were working, trying to talk to our government, trying to make some changes, just trying to figure out the status of things, talking to adoption agencies. There isn't as many as you would hope to see, and those that are around are really needing a lot of care. And so so we were doing a lot of research, and at some point we just looked at each other and said, there needs to be a heart change in our society around this. There's a narrative that has gone out around adoption, adoptive mothers, adoptive families, something that's just kept it in the corner. And it just doesn't deserve to be there. We just need to change that. And so we just looked at each other and said, I think we need to make a film. And then we promptly realized that no one in the room knew the first thing about making a film. And we all laughed and knew what we had to do, even though we had no idea around it. So we all just put our best foot forward with it. And it turned out really well. It's been in like 15 film festivals and it's won international awards. And we're really proud of it. But what we're mostly proud of is that people, I think, are finding it and going, this is a story that's in the corner that I maybe had misconceptions about, and it's out in the light. Now, this is not an action film, but it will make you cry and you will love watching it, I think. And so I just hope that the right people find it, say, this is a human story that I think captures mine or my uncle's or whoever's, and finds a way of maybe sharing it along. I think it's one of those slow burn, beautiful things that you just kind of find and savor a little bit. So.
Yeah. Wow. I love it.
Well, I definitely.
Yeah, we need that. So. That's what we need for media.
Yes. And I like that you touch on the misconceptions with adoption, especially as it pertains to those relationships. And I think that, you know, every time I think that we're past vilifying biological family, I realize that we're not. Right. But what if they turn out like their mother, you know, something like that. And you're like, whoa. We're always going to be respectful of people's parents, period.
100%. End of
story. Always. Right. Mm-hmm. So I really liked the way the story touched on that. And I think that, you know, for me, you know, that was a big takeaway from watching the film was, you know, watching the way that families could connect with one another, that there was nothing to be afraid of. And I'm hoping that as people watch the film that they can see, you know, that widening and extending the family like that is really the most healthy way in the middle of something that is traumatic. No matter what, adoption is always going to be difficult, but widening that circle, you know, and including all those people, and allowing room for, I'll see you later. I think that people will take that away from that.
Yeah, absolutely. So Preston, tell us, I mean, we're going to include all this in the show notes and everything. And when we do all the publicity around this episode, we'll absolutely be pointing people to this film and where they can watch this and view this. But tell us more about, you know, the connecting with the film, you know, the website, social media, all that.
We have a website, I'll see you later.com. It's on, you know, you can find IMBD, Vimeo. There's a few different pathways. You type in I'll See You Later Film into Google, you'll be able to find it. It was a crack team of creative people who came together mostly out of passion over the pandemic. Early in the pandemic is when we put this together, and so it was a passion project we did while we were all kind of on lockdown, and we found each other and were able to set up some film shoots with it. But coming out of the pandemic, we were able to screen it in some theaters. It's going to be at another theater in just a few weeks. We are learning as we go with this. And so we are just hoping that as time goes by, and it went through all the film festivals, so it kind of assured us that at least by somebody's standard, this is decent watching. But really, our entire effort from the get-go was how do we change hearts? And we just heard a story not that long ago of a young lady, pregnant, didn't really know what her pathway or her journey would be, and so a person who had seen this, a social worker, I believe, sat down with her and said, "Would you like to watch this film with me?" And she watched it, and at the other side of the film, she made a decision, and her decision was, "I think I want to adopt my child to a family." And right then, like when I heard that, and this came back to me, and it was the first ever like trial run that this group of social workers were seeing if this film would just help a young person who doesn't know what all the options are to maybe consider that as an option, as an open way of being connected with their child. I was like, oh, okay. I think I know where our film has to be going, that it has to give honor to mothers and fathers who cannot, for whatever reason, raise the child on their own. And that is really actually probably my deepest hope in this, is honor for those that make what I think is a very challenging decision to birth a child that you pass to another. There is something tremendously brave around that. I'm still getting my own head around it too. So I sure hope those people find that film and kind of go, wow, this could be my story. Bumps, warts, wrinkles, and all.
Yeah. I think showing honor to birth families is something that is so deeply missing in adoption as a whole. And so I hope that as people watch this film, whether that's foster and adoptive parents or a person who's thinking about placing, that what they'll see is how deeply, deeply valuable the moms and dads who are placing a baby are to the story. So I would love to see biological families honored more.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, Preston, thank you for taking the time to talk with us tonight. We very much enjoyed the film. I think that our listeners are going to enjoy it too. And we appreciate you so much. Thank you for working with us tonight.
Yeah, bless both of you for just elevating this conversation and to helping take beautiful little pandemic passion projects and turning them into something special. So thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Honestly Adoption Podcast, a resource courtesy of the Honestly Adoption Company. To learn more about us, visit www.honestlyadoption.com.